I want to speak to you today on this subject. A sinner comes to Christ. A sinner comes to Christ. Now, I'd like you to remember that title and listen to the message and then order the tape and listen to it again and pass it on to someone else. I think it's a very important message. And I believe it's a message that will be instructive. I'm taking my text from Luke chapter 7. Now, if you have a Bible handy, I think it'd be a blessing to you to follow as I read the scriptures. In Luke chapter 7, verse 36 through 50, those are the verses. Luke 7, 36 through 50. Now, most of you are familiar with this story. It's the story of the sinful woman who came to Christ as he sat at meat in the Pharisee's home. You remember? She came in and she stood at his feet, and then she stooped down and washed his feet with tears, and dried them with the hair of her head, kissed his feet, and then anointed them with precious ointment. The story of the woman who came to Christ. And I want to look again at this story and what's taught here. Now, I love to read the experience of people whom I know came to Christ. Don't you? People whom I know, on the authority of God's Word, came to Christ and were forgiven of their sins. Our Lord said to this woman, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." That's what he said to her. She came to Christ, and she received forgiveness. In fact, he said before she left, "Thy faith hath made thee whole." Now, I love to read the experience of people whom I know came to Christ and found forgiveness. We don't seek an experience. That's not what we're seeking. We seek Christ our Lord. And we don't seek to have someone else's experience. I'm not asking you to duplicate this experience. It's impossible because the Lord's not here on the earth in human flesh. And you can't duplicate this experience. You wouldn't want to if you could, because men and women are brought to Christ by the Spirit of God under different circumstances. But we see here the purpose of the Lord in relating an experience like this woman's experience to magnify his grace. That's what it does. When we read what happened to this woman by God's grace, it magnifies his mercy and magnifies his grace and exalts his goodness to sinners. And then it reveals the kind of people to whom our Lord is gracious. He came to save sinners. He came to seek and to save the lost. He delights to show mercy to the miserable and to the needy. And then not only that, but he's gracious to call such to himself. So that's what you see in an experience like this. You see the grace of God magnified. And you see the people to whom his grace is given. And then you see the command for all who need him to come to him. So, you know, we need to be reminded of this over and over again. We need to be reminded, even you who know Christ, we need to be constantly reminded of what we are by nature. Sinners. That's what we are by birth and by nature, by practice. We're sinners. We need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded of who he is. He's a just God and a Savior. He is the only Savior. And we need to be reminded how he saves sinners through his blood and through his righteousness. Christ said, "I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Christ the Lord." So listen to me now as I talk about a sinner who came to Christ. A sinner like me and like you, who came to Christ and found forgiveness and mercy and was made whole. And the first thing we see here, look at verse 36. "And one of the Pharisees desired him," that is Christ the Lord, "that he would come to his home and eat with him. And the Lord Jesus went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat." Now the first thing we have in this story is an invitation. This Pharisee invited the Lord Jesus Christ to come to his home and have a meal. We have an invitation. Now, why did this religious Pharisee invite the Lord Jesus to eat with him? This man was prominent in religious circles. He was a powerful ruler in the synagogue, in Jewish religion. He was a Pharisee. Why did he invite the Lord Jesus to come to his home and eat with him? Well, he didn't believe on him. We know that. And he didn't respect him. Not at all. He didn't wish to honor him because he didn't even extend to him the common courtesies of that day. Remember, our Lord rebuked him later. He said, you didn't give me, when I came into your home, you didn't give me any water to wash my feet. You didn't give me a kiss of greeting. You didn't give me any oil to anoint my head. None of these common courtesies were extended to the Lord Jesus Christ when he came to this Pharisee's home. Why did he invite him? He didn't believe on him. He didn't respect him. He didn't wish to honor him. I tell you, he had heard. There's two things here. He had heard what the crowd was saying about Jesus Christ. Back there in Luke 7, if you have your Bible, look back at verse 16. The people were saying, they had heard Christ, heard him preach, saw him raise the widow's son from the dead. And this is what the people were saying. A great prophet has risen up among us. A great prophet has risen up among us. And the Lord has visited his people by sending his prophet. Now this Pharisee didn't believe that. He believed Jesus Christ was an imposter. And so the reason for inviting Christ to his home was to expose him. He believed Jesus of Nazareth was a fraud, just like many other people. They said, well, he's the carpenter. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? He's a wine bibber. He's a gluttonous man. He's a friend of sinners. All of these things they said about him. And this Pharisee felt the same way. And he believed Jesus of Nazareth was a fraud, and he wanted to expose him. He didn't believe he was a prophet. You'll see that in a few moments, because he said this, if this man were a prophet, he wouldn't let this woman touch him. So he didn't believe on Christ. All right? But he invited him to dinner. Now, the second thing we have in this scripture, look at verse 37. First in verse 36, one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he came to eat with him. Then we have an interruption, verse 37. And behold, while they sat at meat, a woman of the city, who was a great sinner, when she heard that Jesus Christ sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment and came in and stood at his feet and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now, in the early part of this chapter, Luke 7, our Lord was preaching, and multitudes heard him. He was preaching on the streets. And this woman was in that congregation. She was in that crowd, that multitude that heard the Lord Jesus preach. She heard his wonderful words of life. She heard the gospel that he proclaimed. She heard him. And she went to her house and got this valuable alabaster box of precious ointment. This was a valuable bottle or box of ointment. She went home and got it. She intended to somehow anoint him. She was so moved by his message and moved by his presence and moved in her heart by the grace of this man, the grace that flowed from his lips, the scripture said. She went home, got this ointment. And she came back, and he wasn't there. And she heard that he was at the Pharisee's house. She was looking for Christ. She was seeking Christ. And she heard that he was at the Pharisee's house having dinner. Now, let me describe one of these dinners at one of these houses back in this day. It wasn't just one person eating with another. This was an important man, a rich man, a leader, a ruler of the synagogue. When he had a dinner, especially when he invited guests, there were many guests. The Pharisee and his friends sat up here before the whole group on an uppermost seat, an exalted seat. And all the guests who had come to eat were out here on the floor. There was a table spread, and the people sat around the table. They leaned around the table. They would lie prone and lie on cushions. Didn't sit in chairs like we do around a table. That's how this woman could come and stand at his feet and then kneel down and anoint his feet. If he had had his feet under a table or under a chair, she couldn't have done that. But he was prone, stretched out, leaning on cushions. And that's this table was out here, and for the Pharisee was up here, and the table was out in front of him. And all these people were around that table, the guests. And then also in that room were other people sitting around the walls listening to the exchange of ideas and the discussion, the debates and the questions. This Pharisee was going to interrogate our Lord. They were going to talk, and all these people would sit around the walls and listen to all that went on at this dinner. Well, they had begun the dinner, and the Lord was lying there upon the cushions and leaning upon the cushions along with the other guests eating. And suddenly there was an interruption. The door opened, and when the door opened, every eye turned that way, and in walked this woman. They knew her. She was a prominent, sinful, well-known woman of that town, a great sinner, according to this Pharisee, a woman which was a sinner, probably a prostitute or something of that nature. And she came in, and a hush fell over that whole crowd. As she... Her eyes, she had eyes for one person in that room. It wasn't that religious Pharisee nor his friend. She was looking at the Lord Jesus Christ. She had heard him. Her heart had been moved toward his gospel, toward him. She had that alabaster box of ointment, precious, valuable ointment in her arm. She knew what she was going to do with it. Pour it out on Christ. And she started walking toward him, and you could have heard a pin drop. What's this woman here for? What's she going to do? Well, she came and stood at his feet and looked down at them. You remember now, this man, when Christ came to dinner, did not give him water to wash his feet. His feet were dusty and dirty. There he was, a guest in this man's home, neglected. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. They hid as their faces from him. They had no respect for him. They harassed him and made fun of him and called him a devil. And she stood there and looked down at his feet, and her heart broke. Here was God's Son. Here's her Lord. Here's the one who came to earth in mercy to save sinners, so hated, neglected. And she looked down at those tired, dirty, dusty feet and just fell down there and started weeping and crying, covering his feet with tears. And then she unplaited her braided hair and dried his feet with the hair of her head. And then she started kissing his feet in adoration. You know, someone said one time, sinners, true sinners, are always found at the feet of the Lord. That's where Mary always sat, at his feet, at his feet. That's where sinners are found. She wept, and she washed, wept over her sins, and wept over the neglect of the Lord Jesus, and wept over the hardness of the hearts of the people, and wept over the condition of her town, and wept over all their sins. And she kissed his feet, and then she took that expensive, valuable ointment and just broke it open and poured it on his feet. One scripture said that whole place was filled with the fragrance of that ointment, that precious ointment that she poured all over his feet. Well, that's quite an interruption, isn't it? Next follows an insinuation. Look at verse 39. And when the Pharisee, here sat this religious imposter, hypocrite. Here he sat, and he watched all of this, as everybody else did. Not a sound was made. They all watched as this woman, which was a sinner, kissed the feet of the Lord and dried his feet with her tears, with her hair, and then anointed it with ointment. And he spake within himself. This is his thoughts. He might have shared them with those around him too. I knew this man wasn't a prophet. I knew he wasn't a prophet. If this man were a prophet, he would have known who this woman is and what manner of woman she is. Did you hear what he said? He would have known who she is and what kind of person she is. For this woman that touches him is a sinner. He is a sinner. But what was he? Well, he didn't believe he was a sinner. He was watching this sinner kiss the feet of the Lord Jesus, and this is what was going through his mind. I wouldn't let her touch me. I'm too good, I'm too righteous, I'm too holy, I'm too pure for such a person even to stand in my presence, let alone kiss my feet. And if he were a prophet, if he were a man of God, he wouldn't let her near him. That's where he was all wrong. That's where his religion is not the gospel. This man didn't know who Christ was. Christ knew who this woman was. Christ knew what manner of woman she was. Because it's folks like her he came to save. He said, I've come to seek and to save the lost. One time, he was sitting at meat with a bunch of folks just like her, with sinners. And these Pharisees were watching as he sat at meat with these sinners. And they said to his disciples, they said, look at your master. Look at your master sitting and eating with those sinners. Look at your master. And our Lord said to them, he said, the well do not need a physician, but they that are sick. I'm come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. You go learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. Our Lord came to seek and to save the lost. The Scripture says this, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ is coming to the world to save sinners. That's his mission. That's why he came. I'm so glad, aren't you, that Christ saved sinners? God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And this Pharisee was insinuating that he wasn't a prophet because he loved sinners, or he allowed sinners to come to him, and he allowed sinners to touch him. That proves he's God's prophet, priest, and king. Came to save sinners. The songwriter put it this way, come you sinners, poor and needy, weak and wounded, sick and sore. Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love, and power. Come ye weary, you heavy laden, bruised and mangled by the fall. If you tarry till you're better, you'll never come at all. Let not conscience make you linger, nor fitness fondly dream. All the fitness he requires is to feel your need of him. Well, we have an invitation. This Pharisee invited the Lord to come to his house and eat. And he came, and as they sat at meat, there was an interruption. Oh, what a blessed interruption. A true sinner, a genuine sinner, a bona fide sinner, one sinner. Out of all of these religious people, there was one sinner came and knelt at his feet, confessing sin, weeping, repenting, drying his feet with hair, anointing his feet. And then we had an insinuation. There was a religious man who couldn't understand it. He couldn't enter into it. He couldn't sympathize with it. He didn't feel his sin. He didn't feel his need of Christ. He didn't see why Christ came. He didn't understand why Christ had any dealings with this woman at all. Then we have an inquiry. Look at verse 40. And our Lord knew what this man was thinking. You see, my friends, men look on the outward countenance. God looks on the heart. And the Lord Jesus, as this woman washed his feet with tears and kissed his feet, and she gave her attention to his feet there, I'm sure the Lord's eyes were looking right at Simon, knowing what he was thinking, knowing exactly what he was thinking. And old Simon thought within himself, this man's no prophet. This man's no prophet. If this man were a prophet, he wouldn't let this woman. He'd know what she is and who she is, and he wouldn't let her touch him. And he said, Simon, I bet that shocked him out of his thoughts. Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, well, Master, say on. He said, Simon, there was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed him 500 pence, the other only 50. Well, he frankly, freely forgave them both. Simon, which one will love him the most? And Simon answered, well, I suppose. It's hard, the hardest thing in this world is to pin down a religionist. He knew the answer. He said, I suppose the one to whom he forgave the most. And our Lord Jesus said, Simon, thou's rightly said. Thou's rightly said. Both were debtors, as we are. Both had nothing to pay, as we have nothing to pay. He forgave them both, as the Lord has forgiven us. Now, the one who truly loves him is the one to whom he forgave the most, the one most conscious of his need, most conscious of his debt, most conscious of his inability, most conscious of the Lord's mercy to him. Oh, he's forgiven me so many times of so much. That's the one that loves him, like this woman. And then he said, Simon, do you see this woman? Oh, he saw her. He didn't identify with her at all. He saw her. He looked at her with disgust. He saw her. The Lord Jesus said, do you see this woman? And I ask you today, do you see that woman? Can you, in your imagination, I believe I can, go back to that time and look at her. You see her attitude? Guilty? Broken? Repentant? Do you see her humility? Here's a woman sitting at a man's feet, kissing his feet, weeping and washing his dirty feet with her tears, and then taking her hair, the glory of her womanhood, and wiping his dirty feet clean with her hair of her head. Take a good look at her. Take a good look at her. That's a repentant sinner. That's a genuine sinner. That's a broken, guilty sinner. That's a sinner who knows she needs mercy and knows the only one who can give her mercy, and that mercy is found at his feet, humbling ourselves before the Lord, seeking mercy. Simon, you see this woman? Now, Simon, look at yourself. He said, I came to your home. You gave me no water to wash my feet. This woman has not ceased to wash my feet with tears. Simon, I came into your home. You gave me no kiss of welcome. This woman is kissing my feet. Simon, I came into your home, and you did not anoint my head with oil. You gave me no respect and no honor. This woman has anointed my feet. Now, I say this to you, Simon. Her sins, which are so many, are all forgiven. And that's where he stops. And I know the rest, don't you? And yours, Simon. You don't think there are very many. You don't think you owe very much. You've never gotten a glimpse of your sins. You've never had any revelation of your wicked heart and your sinfulness. You're guilty of the same thing she's guilty of. She in act, you in thought. She in deed, and you in imagination. You're just as guilty in the sight of God. But you don't see it. You don't see it. Her sins are many, and they're all forgiven. And yours, they're still on you. They're still waiting upon you. They're weighed upon you and waiting upon you to meet them at the judgment. And then it says he turned to the woman, and he said, Woman, thy faith hath made thee whole. Oh, that's an announcement. That's an announcement. Oh, that God in His grace would take this message home to our hearts. You know, before a man is saved, he's got to be lost. Before a person is forgiven, he's got to be a sinner. Before a person is clothed in the righteousness of Christ, he has to be stripped of his own righteousness. Before we're exalted, we've got to be humble. We've got to come down. Got to come down. Man's never saved till he's lost. If we miss Holy Spirit conviction, we're going to miss repentance. And if we miss repentance, we're going to miss faith. If we miss faith, we're going to miss Christ. Oh, that we might be brought to the feet of the Master and brought to kiss His feet, love Him, believe on Him. And I'll tell you this, when we do, we'll take the valuables and pour them on His feet. Praise God for His mercy to us.